From the KGOU studios, I'm Suzette Corlott, the Dean of the College of International Studies at the University of Oklahoma, and welcome to Worldviews. The 87th Academy Awards take place Sunday, and Rebecca Cruz and I discuss the five nominees for Best Foreign Language Film.
Powinnają siostra poznać, zanim złoży śluby.
Lo que te estoy proponiendo me avergüenza.
Ты кто, говорю? Ты русский?
Tiene razón, vale.
Чего тебе, Коль?
Водки, что еще? Две.
This year's contenders include films from Argentina, Mauritania, Russia, Estonia, and Poland.
Her struggles for identity are perhaps the reflections of Poland's struggles for identity as they deal with their past of persecuting the Jews and Nazi takeover there and then becoming communist and Stalinism.
It's our annual Oscar talk ahead of Sunday's telecast. Right after this hour's news from NPR. This is Worldviews. I'm Suzette Corlott. Rebecca Cruz, it's one of our favorite weeks of the year. This Sunday, the Academy Awards are coming up, and we always love to review the five nominees for the Best Foreign Language Film. And this year, like all other years, really great selections, although this is the largest number of submissions ever, 83 submissions. From around the world. But these are the five that got the nod for Best Foreign Language Film. And interestingly, three of them are from the Slavic world, or from the former Soviet region, where there's Russia, there's Estonia, there's Poland in Eastern Europe. So very interesting. And then one from Mauritania and one from Argentina. Well, let's talk about these a little bit, Rebecca. So let's start with the film from Poland. Absolutely incredible looking film called Ida.
Nie powiedziały ci przez tyle lat. Jesteś Żydówką. W tym domu kiedyś mieszkała nasza rodzina.
Tu nie mieszkali żadni Żydzi.
Oboje wiemy, do kogo należał ten dom.
No i co tu robisz?
Jak zginęli?
So this film is about a young woman who's preparing to become a nun, and she visits one of her only remaining relatives, I believe, remaining living relatives, and she finds out on that journey that she's actually a Jew. This, as you might imagine, is quite shaking to her sense of identity, and so she starts having all of these experiences kind of outside of that sheltered world that she's been living in the convent. So what are we to make of this film? The cinematography is incredible. It's shot in black and white, it looks to me. So it really, really amazing film.
Yeah, the black and white is really interesting. I think that provides some sort of context for the viewer. It lets us go back in time a little bit and kind of get that feel for it. This takes place in Poland in the 1960s. So her struggles for identity are perhaps the reflections of Poland's struggles for identity as they deal with their past of persecuting the Jews and Nazi takeover there and then becoming communist and Stalinism. One of the characters I find so interesting in this is the aunt who she comes to know, who's kind of a wild character in some ways. She was persecuted by the Nazis, obviously, but then becomes part of Stalin's purges as a judge. And by the 1960s, she's feeling very aggressive and despair and all these sorts of things. So a very interesting character there that I think in many ways does reflect Poland as well. What's also really interesting is the young woman that plays Ida. She's strikingly beautiful and simple at the same time, but she was really an unknown person. And the director had some image in mind of who this character would be and couldn't find any actress to play her. Put out a call to friends, and one of his friends noticed this young woman in a cafe and said, that's her. And so they went and asked her to audition. She had absolutely no experience, and yet somehow she really embodies this character and does a beautiful, beautiful job.
Yeah, absolutely fresh acting there. Well, this is the 10th Polish film to be nominated for an Academy Award and really seems to be, if not the front runner, one of. Because let's move to the front runner, really. Let's talk about the film from Russia. The title of this film is Leviathan.
Я думаю, что сегодня не в нашу пользу, Сереж.
Оставить решение Загорского района суда без изменения апелляционной жалобы Сергеева без удовлетворения.
Я здесь останусь.
Очень хороший вариант. Практически в центре города, на побережье.
Ну понятно же, что сука для себя местечко освобождает. Я вот этими вот руками...
Нарыл я за эти два месяца кое-что. На это чудовище ваше.
Фаберже.
Нами договориться или дело с оглаской иметь. Так что если захотеть, до любого дотянуться можно.
Фош придавили! Фони на всю округу!
Власть надо знать в лицо. И чего тебе надо, власть? Вот это все.
Now, this film won the Golden Globe for Best Foreign Language Film, which is, interestingly, the first Golden Globe that's been won by Russia since 1969. And, of course, the last time Russia won the Academy Award was in 1994, so it's been a while. This film, set in the Kola Peninsula in the far northwest of Russia, showcases a family that is facing the loss of their land and their home when the corrupt mayor of the town lays claim to it. And so then this all unfolds, friends and relatives, others that come together to try to fight off this corrupt situation. But the film itself has made headlines because of its rather unvarnished view of Russia. And the Russians have been very critical of the fact that it focuses on all of the vodka drinking and drunk, corrupt individuals who are operating outside the law. They talk about this film as being dirty and an unwashed view of Russia, an unfavorable portrayal. So it's made a lot of headlines because of that. It's almost a kind of a political move in some ways to highlight this film.
Very much a political move, and there's been some joke that, you know, it's remarkable that Putin has allowed this movie to be nominated to represent Russia, and the joke is that if they win, then Putin will be able to say, well, this is free speech, and perhaps if they lose, you know, who knows if we'll see another film like this. It is the front runner, or has become the front runner, just like with American films or other films in the Academy. Whoever wins the Golden Globe, or whatever film wins the Golden Globe, tends to be a predictor of who's going to win the Oscar. And while Ida was probably the front runner before the Golden Globes, because Leviathan won, they are now the front runner. I think it's so interesting. We talk about Russia and corruption there, and that certainly is what they're trying to attack here. But the director actually pointed to a U.S. incident that was the inspiration for this film. I don't know if you remember in 2004 in Granby, Colorado, there was a weird eminent domain zoning issue, and a gentleman there who's a welder just got so fed up, created a tank of sorts, and went through the town and destroyed the city hall, the mayor's house, and only stopped when he got stuck, I believe, in his own storefront. He couldn't get his self-made tank through his storefront, and then killed himself. This gathered some attention, and of course that's what the director said has been the inspiration here. It's also interesting the name of the film, Leviathan. That's from the Bible. You can think of the giant sea creature, perhaps, and on the film artwork there is the skeleton of a giant sea creature, and this is happening, as you mentioned, in the North Sea up there. But it also makes us think about, you and I in particular, having a political science background, perhaps, of Hobbes's Leviathan. Hobbes was one of the first social contract theorists, talking about the state of nature, that we all live or without government, live in this sort of anarchy where life is short, brutish, nasty, and just pretty much miserable, all against all. And that he advocates for a strong government of the people, a monarchy, but representing the people that can keep things in order. And clearly in this film, the government is corrupt, the people are going against each other, and life is pretty nasty and short and brutish.
Well, one of the other reasons why this film has made headlines is not just because of the politics, but also because of the pirating issue. So the film wasn't released in Russia when it was released elsewhere. In fact, it's been snubbed at most of the Russian film awards. But there's been a lot of online piracy of the film, and millions of people in Russia in particular have watched the film now because of that online piracy. And where a lot of filmmakers come out against online piracy because of the money they lose, in this case, it really seems to have worked in favor of the director and the producer and the film itself, in that it exposed the issues here and has boosted the film in some ways in terms of its getting attention for the Golden Globes and the Oscars.
It's an interesting twist, isn't it?
That's my colleague and our contributor, Rebecca Cruz, and we're talking about the five movies nominated for the Oscar for Best Foreign Language Film. The 87th Annual Academy Awards take place Sunday night. We have the trailers for each of these films on our website, where you can also leave your thoughts about this discussion. We're also on Twitter, at WorldviewsKGOU, at Suzette Grelot, or at Cruz226. All of our past episodes and most of the individual segments can be found on our website or on iTunes. of our conversation after a break. I'm Suzette Gorelot, and this is Worldviews. You're listening to Worldviews. I'm Suzette Gorelot, the Dean of the College of International Studies at the University of Oklahoma. This half hour, Rebecca Cruz and I are marking Sunday's Academy Awards ceremony with a discussion of the five nominees for Best Foreign Language Film. You can watch the trailers for each of these films on our website, kgou.org. Well, next to the film from Estonia, a film by the title of Tangerines.
Ты кто, говорю? Ты русский?
Нет, я эстонец.
Что эстонец здесь делает, а?
Korjame palju korjame. Mina olen juba sabi raitel.
Kuule, ma teen täna 10 kasti, siis on kokku 200, mis arvaks aitab.
Now this film, although it's an Estonian film, and it's about an Estonian, a couple of Estonians that are living actually in Georgia, in the Republic of Georgia, in 1992 in Abkhazia, actually, when the war was breaking out there. In fact, the Soviet Union had been unraveling for a couple of years and was coming apart. And so there was this brutal war in the region. And these Estonians are there working on, they own a tangerine farm, or at least this one Estonian owns the tangerine farm. And so he won't leave his neighbor, another Estonian. Most Estonians have left and fled the war. But this one Estonian won't leave his neighbor and is staying to help harvest the tangerines. So what happens is two soldiers, there was a battle at the on the tangerine, on the farm, on the orchard. And most everyone dies, the soldiers die, except for two wounded soldiers that are enemies. And so the two Estonians take them in and they help them heal. And during that period of living together, while healing from their wounds, this becomes very humanizing. And they gradually grow more and more connected to each other. This is a very interesting approach to take.
Well, this one in Timbuktu, I think, remind us of current situations, even though they're taking a historical turn. It's really hard to think about this film and not think about perhaps what's been going on in Ukraine lately, and certainly to think about what happened in 2008 with the Georgian-Russian situation there. And if anyone is interested in how we got to the situation in 2008, this would be a nice place to start. Just really showing the ability for humans to come together in times of war when nasty things are going on around them, that they can find the humanity in each other, and just a beautifully written story and a lot of education to give us as well.
Well, since you mentioned Timbuktu, let's talk about that film from Mauritania in West Africa. Although it was it's set in Mali, clearly in Timbuktu, but was filmed in Mauritania. And the thing that's most striking to me about this film, of course, is the music. But the storyline here, Islamic fundamentalists, jihadists arrive in town, take over. They don't even speak the local language, speak French, they speak English, they speak other languages, Arabic. But they come in and they ban things like music and they ban playing of soccer. And they force women to be completely covered. And so this film is showing the impact that has on the community and how the community tries to save their lives and follow the rules, but at the same time expressing their pride and their love. As you know, as really kind of their dignity is being affected and stolen from them. So it's a very colorful film. It was set in the desert, but it's still all the colors that of the costuming and kind of that contrast in between the desert and colors, and then really the music. The music is what really hits you more than anything else.
Yes, like tangerines is another example of the humanness that occurs during wartime, or the humanity that we all have, but perhaps in a more negative light. It is not necessarily the happy ending that we would hope for. And I'm sure that most people remember what happened in Timbuktu a couple of years ago, I think in 2012. Of course, the fundamentalists came in and took over, and France and other allies eventually got involved, and Timbuktu was retaken. But this whole idea of fundamentalism, which we've been talking about on this show week after week, it seems certainly, whether it's in Mali or elsewhere, we can on some level relate to it because we're seeing it in the headlines so often. But this takes it down a level, takes it into the actual homes, the actual people that are being affected here, the family structures that are being affected, neighbor to neighbor and that sort of thing. And yes, it's a beautiful film. And there's one famous scene, or a scene that's becoming famous, where there is a soccer game. Now, as you said, they're not allowed to play sports, but these the father and son are so eager to play sports that they engage in a game without the ball. And even that, at a time that one of the officials from town comes and sees this happening, and they have to very quickly pretend like they're not fake playing soccer, but they're doing calisthenics instead. That just shows, first, the heartbreaking love that they have for soccer and not being able to play it, but how terrified they are that even if they get caught miming something like that, that there could be consequences. And yes, some of the other scenes that are in here, it's really quite tragic.
The one scene that really sticks out to me is this incredible vision of a woman who is an amazing singer, beautiful voice, and is being lashed for singing. And so she's covered there and from head to toe and is enduring the lashes in public, all the while using her voice to kind of cry out through song, really. So, like you said, kind of very touching, very emotional reaction to what's happening to this family, and almost less commentary on the politics mm-hmm. and the religion, and more on just, you know, how things can really tear you apart and tear families apart, but they can also bring them together. And it highlights the resilience mm-hmm. of people that face adversity, I think. So very interesting film.
Absolutely.
Well, so the last of our five nominees is a film from Argentina, and it is entitled Wild Tales.
¿Trabajo o placer?
Las dos cosas, espero.
Dale, salame, muévete.
¿Qué te pasa, hermano?
Buenas noches, ¿uno solo?
Veo que sos buena para las matemáticas.
El acta de infracción dice que el auto estaba mal estacionado y eso se considera prueba suficiente.
Papá. Papá.
¿Qué pasó?
¿Cómo se llama esa chica de pelo largo?
¿Cuál?
Tu compañera de trabajo.
Por culpa de ese tipo se suicidó tu papá y lo único que se te ocurre es insultarlo.
Te estoy diciendo que el cordón estaba sin pintar.
¿Sabés que sos un negro resentido? ¡Forro!
No te puedo creer.
Hey, guys. As Garth Brooks.
Now, this is a very interesting film that actually is a collection of six short films. They're really unrelated. They're different storylines, all involving revenge, basically. And it kind of highlights how sometimes we get put in situations that bring out the worst in us, to bring out the worst in people. Things like betrayal and all the kind of rage and violence and ultimately murder and war that can come from that. So I think it's pointing out this kind of fine line between civilization, you know, and being civilized, and barbarism, and being really brutal in our daily living.
Yeah, this film has probably been the most popular so far in terms of audiences enjoying it. It's actually a dark comedy. As you said, it's kind of that image or that thing that we all kind of think about doing when we're slighted in some way, but hold ourselves back. Well, these characters in these six films or short films, they don't hold themselves back. The cook poisons the food because the person that was eating it didn't like it. Those sorts of things. The spouse that's being cheated on goes for revenge. I think at some point or another, all of us have been in a situation where we have wanted to seek revenge and the better side of us came through. But a very entertaining film. People will laugh when they see these different clips. And it actually has been the largest grossing film in Argentina. So it's doing very well there. And I imagine that of all the films that we've talked about, this is going to be one that many here in the country are going to enjoy as well.
Well, it does touch on something that maybe we all feel a little close to, and that is the notion of justice, you know, right? We could talk about revenge, but we can also say, you know, you've been betrayed and you feel a sense of justice, perhaps, though, taking in that justice into their own hands. But those images of a bride in her wedding dress and then ends up, you know, extremely disheveled and bloody. And then, you know, because of the battles that ensue from discovering her newlywed husband has been cheating on her. And the, you know, road rage, if you will, that, you know, words are exchanged. And the next thing you know, you're on the side of the road with a flat tire. And there you go. You end up being subject to, you know, what happens when that person comes back upon you. So, you know, the revenge, and that's a fine line, too, I think, between kind of, you know, revenge and justice. But very, very interesting films, nonetheless, those six short films together as one. Well, those are our five nominees. Rebecca, do you have any predictions? What should we make of these five films?
Well, it's much tougher this year than it has been in past years. I think there were always clear winners the last couple of times that we've done the show on this. I imagine Leviathan is probably going to take it because it seems to have the most momentum. Although Wild Tales, because of its kind of popularity, it might be kind of a dark horse. And Ida would be a natural fit as well. But any of the five that are selected, I think, would make wonderful Oscar recipients, and certainly all are deserving.
Well, that film Ida was also nominated for Best Cinematography and has won many other awards. Most of these films have won many other awards around the world in their respective countries. But you're right. I mean, this is like every year. This is the best time of year for us. We love film and we love foreign language film. And just like every other year, we have five great choices. So we'll see how it goes.
We will.
Thank you so much, Rebecca, for your insight about these nominees.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Rebecca Cruz and me talk about the five movies up for contention in the Best Foreign Language Film category at the 87th Annual Academy Awards. The annual Oscars telecast takes place this Sunday night. You can watch each of these films' trailers on our website, kgou.org. KGOU produces Worldviews as part of a collaborative partnership with the University of Oklahoma's College of International Studies. Our research fellow is Symphony Swift. Our digital intern this semester is Sam Dupre. And the show is produced by Brian Hardzinski. For Rebecca Cruz, I'm Suzette Berlot.